Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
This 10th year of Daily Tech News Show is made possible by its listeners. Thanks to all of you, including Pele Glendale, Dr. X17, Adam Green, and our new patron, Adrian. Thanks, Adrian, and welcome. On this episode of DTNS, Apple says, try our product, you know, the existing product that we have already that you should buy. EVs are also having a marketing or pricing or maybe both issue. And we break down what OpenAI announced at its very first dev day. This is the Daily Tech News for Monday, November 6th, 2023. From Studio Secret Bunker, I'm Sarah Lane.
From Columbus, Ohio, I'm Rob Dunwood.
And from close to your nation's capital, your boy, Big Chris Ashley.
And I'm the show's producer, Roger Chang.
Chris Ashley, so good to have you on the show again. And I seem to recall having a pretty fun show the last time you, Rob, and I were on the show together.
Definitely had a great time.
It was definitely
Yeah. So let's do it again, shall we? Starting with the quick hits. Meta announced it has 1 million paid subscriptions to creators on Instagram, which is a relatively small portion of Instagram's 2 billion monthly users. Meta will also start adding subscribe buttons at the top of applicable posts, and creators will be able to offer 30-day free trials, and Instagram is adding a tool to let creators DM new subscribers in bulk to chat with them.
Elon Musk announced Sunday that his artificial intelligence startup, xAI, will be integrated into a social media platform, X, and also be available as a standalone app. Musk also said xAI released its first AI model, a bot called Grok, which was released to X Premium Plus subscribers on Friday. xAI is working on AI tools that assist humanity in its quest for understanding and knowledge, and Grok has been designed to answer questions with a bit of wit.
Epic Games was in court again on Monday in San Francisco. This is the latest in the case of Epic School to do away with Apple and Google taking a cut of sales through their mobile app marketplaces. In Epic's case, specifically Epic's sales. Previously, the company was unsuccessful in most of its claims in a similar but different case against Apple in 2021 and also failed that appeal earlier this year, at which point it petitioned the Supreme Court.
Discord tells Bleeping Computer that it will start marking links to hosted files, and they're going to refresh every 24 hours. So, and that's going to happen by the end of this year. Discord says this will fight the spread of malware on the platform since that gives it more ability to restrict access to flagged content.
MediaTek announced its latest mobile processor, the Dimensity 9300, with flagship performance, AI power, and multimedia capabilities. High-end Android smartphones and tablets are the target market for the 9300, which includes a new all-big-core CPU design for faster speeds, a re-engineered GPU for on-device AI, and boosted media engine for cinematic video capture. MediaTek says the chip will show up in smartphones before the end of the year, which is notable because it's around the same time for Qualcomm's Snapdragon 8 Gen 3 to also show up in devices. All right, y'all. It's not a big secret that electric vehicles aren't selling as well as the automotive industry thought that they would. So manufacturers like GM, Ford, Honda, and others have lowered some estimates on the number of EVs that they expect to produce in 2024 and the amount of money that they will invest in EV research and development going forward. One of the main reasons for slower than expected EV adoption is prices, because EV prices are typically higher than what some consumers are willing to pay. But Tesla, according to Reuters, is addressing this with plans for a 25,000 euro or 27,000 US dollars Model 2, right, Rob?
Absolutely. So in a visit to Tesla's Berlin Gigafactory Friday, where the Model 2 would be initially produced, Elon Musk reportedly told staff about the plans. He did not say when production would begin, but Tesla has briefly hinted at production coming potentially in, in the next year. Could come as easy, as early as 2024. Currently, the cheapest EV Tesla sales is $39,000, and that's on the Model 3. So, Chris, you purchased a Ford F-150 Lightning last year, and I'm betting it costs significantly more than $27,000. So my question to you is, do you think that an EV this inexpensive would get any traction more than they're getting right now?
Well, define significantly more.
twice as much? Let's start there. Three so, times as much?
That's a little closer. But But as a person that is definitely has his eye open for a second EV vehicle for the house, my daughter's turning 16 in the next couple of years. So definitely I'd like to get her a vehicle. Would love not to buy a gas vehicle for her. I think this is a great move by them to bring. They've been talking about it for a while to get get these prices under control and get something out there for mass adoption. And it's kind of shocking to me actually that they would be the first ones to do this, because you would think the other manufacturers have the capacity to create a loss leader even if they wanted to. I would definitely look at anything they created in that price range for sure.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder how much Tesla being the company that, let's just say this comes to fruition, I can buy a $27,000 Model 2 sooner than later. Does Elon Musk have anything to do with this? Probably not. I don't know. I mean, I think if you like a vehicle, you trust the company behind it, and you maybe look the other way when it comes to the person who's at the helm. And by the way, not everybody hates Elon Musk, so I'm not speaking for anybody except myself. I might have some pause. I also know that there have been other companies. In fact, we talked about a couple of them last week, who say, we just can't figure out how to make an EV that is in this price range work for us on our assembly line. So we're going to, go back to the drawing board and try again. But, no soup for you.
So there's a couple of things. And, one of the points I always make when talking about why don't people buy EVs, they're readily available, is because they cost more. And there are a lot of people who buy automobiles because they need an automobile. But no one at least in North America has ever bought an electric vehicle because they needed one. They bought it because they wanted it. And the reason I say that is because the electric vehicles are, they're substantially more expensive in most cases. I mean, we've been getting better, but they still cost significantly more. So that's a big deal when, you're talking about, cars that are already expensive, and it's like, okay, well, this one's going to cost $9,000 more, $13,000 more just to have batteries in it. And I don't know that I'm going to be able to potentially resell it for the same amount that if I were to buy, an automobile with a fuel combustion engine in it. Those are a lot of factors for people who need cars are going to look at. So I'm thinking that the $27,000, they're probably going to move, a bunch of these. Cause, as you said, Sarah, there's a lot of folks who, if Elon Musk wasn't at the top of Tesla, they wouldn't even be considering them. That whatever company he was running, that's what they would look at, because there's just as many folks who like him as dislike him. So I don't know that that's going to affect a lot of people on the low end one way or the other. But I do think that you will see more people start to look, because now this $27,000 car, should say $27,000 or 25,000 euro car, doesn't cost significantly more than something in the same frame. And just one last point, to Chris's point. Cars, we've been making cars on assembly lines for over 100 years. The margins are really, really tight. So I can see Tesla doing this because they just don't have all of that baggage that a lot of the traditional legacy GMs and brands, Fords, they have, that, where they're making these cars on such tight margins that they just can't make any money. Tesla can still do that.
Yeah, I welcome this big time, because I really want to see people get into these cars, because I can't tell you, I still get stopped. I still get asked tons of questions about my truck all the time. But quite a few times, and obviously this is anecdotal, but quite a few times people are like, I'd love to switch. They're just too expensive for me. So, it's definitely a thing that that is a barrier for many, many people that want to switch, because oftentimes we think that people are just in one camp or the other, right? They're combustion or electric, and that's it. But there are certain people that are stuck in one because, it's just not in their budget to go the other direction.
What about the second market? I mean, I know it's not totally what our conversation is about, but Chris, if you were to sell your F-150 Lightning, I know you're not going to, but have you kind of dipped your toe into what sort of resale market is out there?
I have not, because it has absolutely unequivocally never crossed my mind. But I will say this. When I bought my truck and I was about to leave, the general manager of the store came out and said, if you don't want it after a week, bring it back. I'll give you $10,000 more than you paid for it.
Whoa.
And I don't know if that's still the case today, but I imagine that there's probably still a good of markup availability in the resale, because the F-150 Lightnings, even though I'm seeing more and more, they're still not as prevalent as I'm sure Ford would like them to be.
Well, moving on to Apple, another company that likes people to buy their products. Apple PR rep, this is kind of an unusual story, told The Verge over the weekend that the company will not be making an Apple Silicon version of the 27-inch iMac. That would replace the Intel chip model that it discontinued in 2022. And you might say, but don't iMacs already have the M3 chip? Apple says it's focusing the iMac line on the 24-inch model. It released early 2021 initially, updated with the new M3 processor this fall. The rep who spoke to The Verge, Starlene Meza, says buyers who really want a 27-inch model should consider buying the Studio Display and Mac Studio or Mac Mini. Though, obviously, if you do the numbers, that option is a lot more expensive than the all-in-one design of the iMac, and also just, has more components overall. Now, Apple doesn't normally respond to rumors. This is unusual. Has a lot of folks wondering, making some bets on whether this means Apple's working on some other size of iMac with Apple Silicon that it hasn't announced yet. I think that's a pie in the sky. Or just wants to move some merchandise after a bit of a lackluster quarter. What do y'all say?
So here's the thing. I paid attention to Apple's quarterly earnings call last week, and the quarter before that, and the quarter before that, and probably the six before that. And if it's not called an iPhone, they're not selling a lot. The numbers have just been going down and down and down. So a problem that Apple is having right now is excess inventory. They don't want to put out new hardware that is going to cannibalize existing hardware that they have. And they also don't want people who are looking to buy something today to have that, oh, maybe I should just wait until the M3 version comes out. They want you to go ahead and buy what they have on their shelf right now. So they're letting you know, we're not going to have anything new on the shelf in a few months. This is what you have if you want a 27-inch. And if you really want to have an iMac with an M3, you're going to get the 24 that we, have in the M2 and the M3 variant that they just announced, a week or so ago.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. You know, you'd love to beat companies up on stuff like this, but the reality is, you know, why make something or even have the hint of something coming out that's going to stifle the sales of what you already have, especially if you truly don't have any plans of developing that size. So as much as people may want to, you know, that in-between size, if Apple's not feeling it, it's just not going to happen. So it makes perfect sense to me to just nip that in the bud.
I mean, I've got a Asus monitor I'm looking at right now that is 28 inches. I don't think it's 27, it's 28. I would not be able to go smaller for this particular setup that we're doing right now. What does everybody else have?
I'm using a 32-inch monitor here and a 15-inch monitor there and a 29-inch monitor turned vertical right here.
Okay, fine, so I've got all kind
of
win.
I've got all kind of radioactivity coming into my eyeballs. But you know what Apple doesn't want to do, they're not really moving those those big displays. They're not really moving the minis right now. They're not really moving the studios. They want to move the hardware that they have, so they know if they come out with that, you know, that 28 inch device, that, you know, the one that people are really into, they know that's going to sell, but it's just going to cannibalize what they already have on the shelf.
I'm staring at the Samsung Odyssey G9, and this thing is absolutely disgustingly awesome. So
What is the size of it?
Oh, it's a 49-inch. It's a curved monitor. So it's,
all right, y'all. I mean, I didn't even like. I feel like I just like punted this to everybody. Like, hey, I have a pretty big monitor. What about everyone else? And they're like, Rob's like, I have four. Chris is I have the largest monitor you've ever heard of.
I want to get that Johnny Mnemonic displayed, where I just have a wall of TVs and monitors, you know, pumping radiation into me.
Totally.
I was like, oh, that's so cute. Those monitors are cute. This thing is awesome.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, all right. So, Apple is entering a... We'll see what happens in its next earnings. And Rob, I know you will be following that as well, as will we all. It seems like a bit of a, you know, it's a trough quarter. The company says, hey, yeah, if you want to buy more of our stuff, buy the expensive stuff on the shelves. And we'll talk later.
So what do you want to hear us talk about on the show? One way to let us know is on our subreddit. So submit your stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence, Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model in the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Well, news moves fast on a Monday. Today on Daily Tech Headlines, I passed along news that OpenAI was readying a new ChatGPT update. This was according to some leaks and some rumors. According to screenshots and videos seen by The Decoder, OpenAI would have a new marketplace where users can share their chatbot or browse those made by others. SEO tools developer Tibor Blaho shared a video of the UI for the feature, demonstrating a GPT builder option, letting users enter a prompt. An example read, make a creative who helps generate visuals for new products to create a chatbot. And it sounds like, Rob, this is a real thing.
It is, because now we know more as OpenAI officially announced Buyable GPTs as its first ever Dev Day conference in San Francisco, accessible through the GPT store. The company says eventually it plans to pay creators an unspecified amount based on how much their GPTs are used. They'll be available to paying ChatGPT Plus subscribers and OpenAI Enterprise customers who can make internal-only GPTs for their employees. OpenAI has also announced a faster, cheaper GPT-4, lower prices for developers using its models in their apps, and shared that GPT has reached 100 million weekly users. Chris, where do you stand on all this buy someone else's GPT spectrum?
I actually love the idea of that, and I think it makes perfect sense both from a customer standpoint as well as just a product management standpoint. Oftentimes when you've got a group of people that are kind of deep inside technology that they're developing, you start to develop this group think and you start to develop this tunnel vision. And it's natural, but it prevents you from seeing some of the fringe cases that could, or issues that people don't know exist, but everybody has. And so those are like the gem scenarios that you try to come across where it's like, oh, there's a problem that's out there. People didn't even realize they had it, but now that it's been exposed and we can solve it with this ChatGPT, now everybody wants to use it. So when you start expanding the capabilities for folks to develop on the platform and then you'll give them the incentive of making money from whatever it is they develop, now you have opportunities for all type of scenarios to come out. And, some of them will be trash, but other of them will actually be pretty exciting. So I find that aspect of it to be pretty cool. The other thing is the more adoption you drive, the better uptake you'll get. Because I was actually in the store the other day, and I was just talking to somebody about automated sales and using these cash registers, and they brought up AI, and clearly they were a novice to the scenario, but they were actually kind of more scared about what they think AI is going to do for the world going forward. So when you have other folks that give them some cool reasons to use it and leverage it, you probably dissipate some of that apprehension that some people may have embracing this type of technology. So I think from both of those angles, this is actually a pretty smart move.
Yeah, I mean, looking forward, and I know we're in early days here, I mean, this was all just announced, but the idea that there would be a store for an AI bot to help me live my life better that, I don't know, I mean, maybe would be free, maybe would be, for pay, much like any app store is right now. You know, what do app stores do for us right now? Well, apps, games, photo stuff. I mean, there are a variety of things that you do end up paying some money for, maybe some in-game purchases type thing. The idea of having a GPT bot that is in the marketplace that's, let's just say, because I'm kind of in the market for a new apartment right now, let's say there is a way, for me to just apply for that apartment just better than I would otherwise. Like, this is the way to do it. You know, it just hits all the marks. Again, I'm going forward a few steps, but I can see where in many aspects of life, this is something that we're all going to be used to and, sooner than later.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think back to just like digital assistants. We don't really think about saying, hey, keyword, and then getting an answer. it's going to be like that with, these large language models. Eventually we're going to just get used to asking them questions and expecting that the questions that we ask are answered accurately and correctly. And the more people that are using them, the more data there's going to be, the better the outcomes are going to be based off of that data. So I think that, there are reasons that people should be concerned. And they need to think about, how am I going to use these things in the future? How could it potentially affect my service related job in the future? What skill sets should I maybe, look into? But ultimately, I think, for the most part, this is probably going to be good for, for humanity as a whole.
Yeah. Just the complicated scenarios that could probably be. I use Siri all the time when I'm cooking and I'm doing barbecue. Especially when I have, three or four things on the smoker and I got two things in the oven and I need to keep track of times. And I'm scatterbrained sometimes. I'm just hopping all over the place. And so I will definitely have Siri set reminders for me, so when I know when to go check something or when to go sauce, the chicken or the ribs that are in there. But I usually have to do that individually. So, somebody comes up with a ChatGPT that allows me to set these more complex alarms and reminders. Those are type of things that come off the top of my head that I would definitely love to leverage.
Well, at OpenAI's, again, inaugural Dev Day conference in San Francisco, the company also launched a DALL-E 3 API, rather, with moderation designed to help protect against misuse. Also a text-to-speech API that offers 6 preset voices and 2 model variants. OpenAI also announced something called Copyright Shield, meant to defend ChatGPT enterprise users and OpenAI devs if they end up facing copyright infringement claims related to OpenAI apps that get built in the future. So, yeah, a lot of stuff today. We'll be delving through a lot of it. And if there's anything that we haven't talked about today, we will certainly talk about on the show tomorrow. But I want to ask you, Chris, what you think about Toyota's new steer-by-wire system. It's calling the One Motion Grip, because there's no mechanical link between the steering wheel and the wheels. Also has a 200 deg ratio instead of a 150 deg ratio that it had in the past. These are car terms, so of course I don't know anything about it. Designed to give the steering a smoother and more natural feel. Steer-by-wire will be offered on Toyota electric cars, just a couple of them to start. Toyota BZ4X and the Lexus RZ, which is more of the luxury model.
Yeah, so I actually always find things like this super interesting. I don't know if anybody needs that that greater turn radius could potentially be developed by this. But in the end, I don't know if I know anybody that's ever had an issue with the steering where the steering column just stops working. But clearly, this probably would allow for some more space inside of the engine compartment where they can probably do some other things, because you usually have this long rail that goes from the inside of the car down to the axle. So I don't know. I find it kind of interesting. Roger brought up a great point when we were talking earlier about this, where, it would be interesting to see if you lose the feel and the feedback you get from the road by not having that direct connection to the wheel. So that's something that would interest me.
Wouldn't people say that about power steering? Is it different than that? If you don't have power steering, then you know how to crank a wheel. But once you get power steering, you're like, is this real? Gosh, I'm not even trying anymore.
I'll jump in real quick and say, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Rob, that even though you have power steering, you still get the feeling of the tires from the front. So whether it's the left or the right, through whether it's a solid axle, if it's 4x4, or if it's like independent, it still transmits into the steering column. So even if you have like a land yacht and you can drive with just a single finger on the steering wheel because the power steering is like over boosted, you can still feel the road. You will not have a physical connection. It's like if you were driving a car with just push buttons on the dash, right? You wouldn't feel other than like, you know, the suspension under your tush. So they're going to they're probably most likely adding artificial feel into it.
I would suspect that as well. Because
it's really dangerous not to be able to know where your tires are pointed.
Yeah, because you would have to, or you just develop the muscle where you just kind of more pay attention to, you know, how the car is moving versus where the wheel is oriented. What do you think, Rob?
I think I agree with the you know, that people can feel it even if you lose your power steering. But I think that the angst is probably overstated. Roger, I fully agree with you. I think that they're going to probably add some feedback to this just so that you at least feel like you feel it. But these are issues that they need to fix. We've been flying planes, fly by wire for the better part of the last 40, 45 years. I think they can figure this out in cars as well.
And yeah, I will add real quick, this technology has been in development since the 80s. Like the early 80s, since they developed fly-by-wire for cars or planes, it's like, be great if we could develop it for cars as well. And the original control was a joystick, like on a plane. And so people will, there was a show called Beyond 2000. It's an Australian show. And the correspondent they had that drove the car was like really interesting because you don't get the feel of the road through a stick. It's literally just like a giant joystick. And she felt very unsettled by the entire experience because normally when you drive, at least when we drive as humans currently, when you drive, you feel everything. You feel it through the steering wheel and you feel it in your body. But if that becomes disconnected, then that's when you have problems.
Yeah, and just getting used to driving without the using my brake took me probably a good 2 months to finally develop A, the muscle in my leg for it, and B, just to kind of feel for it and the ability to kind of feather your stops and all those things. So I got to imagine something a bit more drastic like that would take a bit of time. So yeah, feedback makes sense. Hopefully they do something like that.
Well, Rob, Jinx. You and I, Jinx, you and me, yeah, a Coke. But I'm going to go ahead and thank Chris Ashley because I know you're not going to. Chris Ashley, thank you so much for being on the show. And I'm just joking because you and Rob do a show together, but you do a lot of stuff. So let folks know where they can keep up with your work.
Yeah, definitely check out this episode of Barbecue and Tech that just went live yesterday because, man, if you like a good comeback story, you can hear how I came back from absolutely almost destroying two briskets at the same time.
Oh, you came back with meat?
Yes. Wow. I came back with meat. I was on the brink of destruction and came all the way back. So it was a pretty, pretty fun story. But yeah, come check us out on Barbecue and Tech.
Also, I really enjoy reading Big Cashly. When I read your Mastodon.social account, Big Ashley. Yeah.
Appreciate
you. Big Ashley. Just flush with cash. Like, you know? Yeah. Good stuff. All right, patrons, stick around for the extended show because we have more of it. Good day, Internet. We're going to be kicking around the idea of trust and safety for tech companies as a service rather than as an internal team. Pros and cons. There are many. But just a reminder, you can catch this show live Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 2100 UTC, because we are now in standard time in the U.S. for most states. And you can find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live. We're back again tomorrow talking about shore sensors with Dr. Nikki Ackermans. And by the way, if you have a biology or science question you would like Dr. Nikki to answer, send them to us, feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com, and we'll see how many Nikki can answer on tomorrow's GDI. Good times. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. From a local business to a global corporation.
Partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful you'll make every move matter.
Visit bankofamerica.com/banking for business to learn more.
What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.